Well, as we shared at the beginning of our time together today, we conclude our teaching series, The Simplicity of Christmas. Throughout the series, we've been encouraged to approach Christmas differently so we don't miss the one who is God with us, God beside us, and God becoming one of us. We've also been invited to simplify our celebration of the simple story of Christmas and encouraged to slow down, breathe, and focus intentionally on that kingdom held in Mary's hands on that first Christmas day, on Jesus, the King of Kings. And can you believe it? Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Can you believe that? Who still has Christmas shopping to do? Yes, I see that. Well, Tammy informed me that I had to lift my hand and I wasn't done. So still just, you know, a few little things to go. And, you know, 2 days from now is Christmas Day. So given that Christmas is almost here, are you tired of the Hallmark Christmas Channel yet? I love those little movies on there, and I'm watching them over and over again. But I think Tammy's ready to move on with those. But what about some of those other classic Christmas movies that you have maybe enjoyed over the years? You know, last Sunday after church, we went home, had lunch together, and I decided, you know what? My Cincinnati Bengals have been so bad, I'm not even watching them today. And of course, they won, you know, go figure. Maybe that's the secret. I need to stop watching. And so we watched that great Miracle on 34th Street. You know, not the one that came around not too long ago, but the original black and white version. Loved that movie, The Miracle on 34th Street. And if you had to choose some of your all-time favorite Christmas movies, you know, what would be your favorite? I mean, would you say It's a Wonderful Life? Did you like that one? I mean, that's pretty awesome, you know? Yeah, there you go. Well, and what about this one? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Any takers on that? Not your favorite? Okay, not your favorite. Well, how about Christmas Story? You know, you'll shoot your eye out, no? And then there's another option here is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know, I don't know if you like that one, but at 9 o'clock, that got most of the applause, okay? And I don't know what that tells you about those at 9 o'clock, but that's the one they like the most. And another favorite of mine is one that I remember, you know, growing up in Coshocton, and that's the Charlie Brown Christmas Special. Wasn't that awesome? And I did a little research on this preparing for today, and I found some interesting trivia. For starters, did you know that both CBS, the network that first aired the special, and Coca-Cola, the company that sponsored it, almost pulled the plug on the show because they thought it was going to be a bust. They thought it was going to be a bomb. They paid only $76,000. Now remember, this was 1965. That's all it cost to produce that particular show. Then when it aired, it had a 50% share. That means half of all households watching TV in 1965 that night watched the Charlie Brown Christmas Special. And check this out. Prior to the airing of that first Charlie Brown Christmas Special in 1965, aluminum Christmas trees were becoming super popular so people wouldn't have to deal with pine needles and tree sap. But after the scene in the Charlie Brown movie where Charlie Brown refuses to get a fake tree, real tree sales skyrocketed and aluminum tree sales tanked. And now they're just a collector's item. So you wonder why we don't have them? Well, because Charlie Brown said, get a live tree. There you go. But when it comes right down to it, the one scene I love most in the Charlie Brown Christmas Special is when Linus comes out and says this. Let's watch.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
So there you go. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And I learned another interesting tidbit, okay? That, did you notice, and I never noticed this before, Laura Lynch told me this, that when Linus is on the stage with his little blanket, his security blanket, and he's telling the Christmas story, when the angel said, fear not, Linus drops his blanket. As a reminder, he doesn't need his little security blanket because of the one who has come. All these years, I've watched that, and I never knew that. Isn't that interesting? So that's a little trivia you can share at the Christmas table, okay, right there. So 3 weeks ago, we kicked off our series, The Simplicity of Christmas, by following the wise men to the stable where Jesus was born. There, we were encouraged to find time throughout Advent and Christmas to slip away and come and see, to take time to think about Jesus, what Jesus means to us, and to reflect on what we mean to Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we followed the wise men to Bethlehem, where they bowed down and worshiped. And we were invited to take time to breathe, to slow down, and find time to slip away to the manger where we could have time to come and worship. Last week, we followed the wise men once again to the place where Jesus was born as they blessed the newborn king with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and were invited to offer simple gifts in return, simple gifts of compassion, worship, and a grace-filled heart as a way to come and bless and reflect the power and beauty of that very first Christmas gift, the gift of God with us, Jesus the Christ. And today we're following those wise men one last time. In Matthew 2, verses 10 through 12, we discover this. We read this. It says, they entered the house, the wise men entered the house and saw the child. They saw Jesus with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So the wise men, upon learning that Herod wanted to kill the Christ child, took the scenic route back to their own countries. And while we don't know much, about the wise men after that, we can only surmise that the wise men left and told others what they had seen and what they had experienced, what they had witnessed. So the wise men not only came to see, worship, and bless, but they also left and went to go and tell. You see, after we come and to the manger and see, worship, and bless, as we reflect on the power and beauty of that very first Christmas gift, the gift of God with us, the gift of God becoming one of us, we are moved to action. We must go and tell. And throughout the series, we've also been taking a closer look at those shepherds out watching their sheep at night. You remember on the night of that first Christmas, after Mary had given birth to her son in a stable, the news was proclaimed not to priests or politicians or leaders of commerce, but to a group of nomadic minimum wage workers who were on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder, the shepherds. Those shepherds were working the midnight shift, watching their sheep in the fields, and an angel of the Lord came and said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And then what did those shepherds do next? They did what any of us would have done. They went to see for themselves. The Bible says that they hurried off and found Joseph and Mary and the baby lying in a manger. But it's what happened next that makes all the difference in the world. After they had seen the King of Kings resting in Mary's arms, they took off. They went and told. Beginning in verse 17, we find this. It says, after seeing him, after the shepherds saw the Christ, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they'd heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And in these simple verses, we discover the secret to turning the world upside down. They contain the secret of how we all can be world changers, city changers, neighborhood changers, workplace changers, school changers, family changers. The secret is found in we come and go. We spread the word just like those shepherds did long ago. We need to tell others about what we've heard with our own ears, what we have seen with our own eyes, and what we've experienced in our own lives, so that their response will be like those who listened to the shepherd's testimony. They will be amazed, astonished at what we tell them. So if you have a Bible close by, I invite you to take a hold of it and follow along as today we take a closer look at the shepherds and how they went and told and how we're called to come and go. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we get started, I want to begin by inviting us to think about heaven. Now, I know Christmas is only 2 days away, and you might be thinking, well, hey, why do you want us to think about heaven? I mean, Christmas is upon us. So just hang in there with me for a moment. You see, we often talk about heaven and earth as though there's like this wall that separates the two. Like where we are now on earth is earth, but out there somewhere there's like this wall that separates us from heaven. But God reveals that there's not a wall between heaven and earth, rather a mere veil. And on the other side of this veil is the heaven we all long to embrace. And what the scriptures actually teach us is that when Jesus was crucified, you may remember the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom or from heaven to earth. As a result, the wall that divided us between earth and heaven has now been torn down so that we can choose to have heaven on earth. You see, wherever God is, there is heaven. And if God wasn't in heaven, there would be no heaven. Therefore, wherever God is, heaven has been unleashed. And when God stepped into human history on that first Christmas day, some 2,000 years ago, heaven crashed into time and space and forever tore the divide. So now with that understanding, that realization of heaven, let's listen again to that Christmas story found in Luke's gospel, beginning with verse 17. It says again, after seeing him, after the shepherds saw Jesus, The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So why did the shepherds tell everyone what had happened? Well, because heaven came to earth. Why were all who heard the shepherd's story amazed and astonished? Because heaven had come to earth. Why did Mary keep all these things in her heart and think about them often? Because heaven had come to earth. And why did the shepherds go back to their flocks at night, glorifying and praising God? Because they had witnessed God with us, God beside us, God becoming one of us. They had witnessed heaven on earth. And that, my friends, is why it's important that we come and go. That's why we need to tell others that Jesus, the Christ, has come, that the Savior is here among us. Because when we invite Jesus into our lives, we get heaven thrown in with him. You see, when we make the decision to consciously and intentionally accept Jesus Christ and believe in him without reservation as Lord and Savior, then heaven, then Jesus comes within us to change and transform our lives forever. I mean, this is big, people. This is huge. And think about the transformation that takes place. In Christ, our past is redeemed. Our poor choices, bad decisions of the past are forgiven forever. And then with Christ in us, heaven in us, the hope of glory, we're empowered in our present with grace and strength equal to our every need. And our future is secured as we embrace the promise of spending an eternity with God and all those saints who've gone on before us. Bottom line, because Jesus has come, because heaven has come to earth, our lives will never, ever be the same. And that's why the people were amazed. That's why they were astonished at the stories of the shepherds. And check out this God story from Caitlin Simmons, who's our new director of contemporary worship. Let's watch this.
Jesus is my rock. Before I met Jesus, I was all over the place. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was really malleable from the world and the secular influences and all of that. So I started attending the youth group here at church, at Urbana United Methodist Church, and I learned what it's like to make mistakes and to meet grace and in those mistakes and to realize that God has a plan for me, and it's a good plan, and I don't have it all together. And what I want and what God wants for me are two different things, and his plan is better. Now that I know Jesus, I see the world differently. Before, people were just people in their own world, and now they're people that Jesus loves and that I should love too. And so the plan that God has for me, the good plan that God has for me, is to love other people and to push them closer to him.
All right. So that's next time you see Caitlin, thank her for sharing her God story. And so when Caitlin Simmons encountered Jesus, now what was her response? She was amazed. She was astonished. In Christ, she met grace, discovered God did indeed have an awesome plan for her life, and Caitlin began to see the world around her with a different set of eyes. She began to see things differently. You see, that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. That's what happens when we encounter Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Therefore, we need to come and go. We need to pass it on. We need to spread the word, just like those shepherds long ago. We need to tell others about what we have heard with our own ears, what we've seen with our own eyes, and what we've experienced in our own lives, so that their response will be like Caitlin's and like those who listened to the shepherds long ago. They will be astonished, amazed at what they hear and experience. And the fact is, God has called us to embrace a come-and-go mindset. And as a result, there are two things that I want to encourage us with this morning, encourage us to come and go with. So here's the first thing. First of all, I want us to realize that anyone can come and go. Anyone can come and go. You see, it's significant that God didn't choose to announce the birth of Jesus, the birth of his son, to members of royalty, but regular working class people. The first human voices to proclaim the birth of Christ were what we would call today the lower class, and yet they were considered worthy of this important task to go and tell. And think about this, God has a history of using ordinary people. Matter of fact, if you start in Genesis and go to Revelation, it's just full of stories, testimonies of simple, ordinary people whom God used in super extraordinary ways. And for example, there's King David. Before he was a king, he was a shepherd boy. His father had several sons and actually considered David to be the runt of the litter. And yet God used David in an extraordinary way. And let's not forget Peter. The Apostle Peter was an uneducated fisherman, prone to saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, and was even something of a coward and a quitter. But God was able to use this ordinary fisherman in an extraordinary way. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and 3,000 people came to Jesus. God also used Peter to bring healing to many who were sick. So God uses ordinary people. And as I was thinking this past week of some of the people over the years that had a hand in leading me, pointing me to Jesus, one in particular came to mind. That was the youth leader. Tammy and I met in high school. We went to the same church, Trinity United Methodist Church in Milford. And our youth leader was a man by the name of Ed Bischoff. Ed Bischoff, or Mr. B, as we called him, was in sales. He traveled all over creation selling whatever. I don't remember what he sold, but I can remember him driving cars with over 200,000 miles on them, and they looked brand new because he put the miles on quickly. I remember that he was a single parent, but I can't remember the details around what happened to his wife, but recall that he had three children. And one, a son of his, was close to my age. Now, there was nothing fancy about Mr. B. He didn't wear fancy clothes. He worked hard to provide for his family as a single parent and barely, as I recall, made ends meet. By all accounts, if you met Mr. B, you'd think he was just a simple, ordinary man, but you'd be wrong. Mr. B may have looked ordinary, but he was far from it. Mr. B wasn't the person that led me to Christ, but as my high school youth leader, he showed me heaven. He showed me Jesus, the Christ. I love being around Mr. B because he radiated love and joy. He was always smiling, always positive and encouraging. And I knew that he had a lot of stuff on his plate. But in spite of his difficulties, he was always smiling, always laughing, always full of joy. And he made you feel like $1 million. Now, remember thinking as a senior in high school that this Jesus person must be pretty darn amazing because of what Jesus had done in Mr. B's life. You see, when I looked at Mr. B again, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus smiling back at me. I saw the radiance of Jesus' smile coming right back at me. I saw a little taste of heaven. God used this ordinary man in an extraordinary way. And God can do the same with you and me. And have you noticed that many people will define themselves with the word just? For example, you know, I'm just a plumber. I'm just a nurse, I'm just a teacher, I'm just an accountant, I'm just a fireman, I'm just a policeman. So what could God ever do through simple, ordinary me? Well, the answer is that the more ordinary we are, the more extraordinarily God can use you and me. God can use anyone who's simply willing to come and go. And this brings me to the second thing I want to share this morning. If we want to live with a come and go mindset, all we need to do is tell others what we have seen and heard and experienced. Anyone who aspires to write has been given this advice. Write what you know. Write about whatever it is you know. It would be impossible to write a book about baseball if we didn't know the difference between a doubleheader and a double play. If we're going to be effective as a writer, we need to write about stuff that we know. In the same way, in order to embrace a come-and-go mindset, we need to approach it from the same perspective, from the same direction. We need to tell what we know, what we have seen, and what we have experienced. In John's Gospel in the New Testament, in the 9th chapter, we read that after Jesus healed a man, the religious leaders began to interrogate this man, asking him how Jesus could have possibly healed him, because Jesus was clearly a sinner, out of touch with the world. In response, this is what the man said. In verse 25, he says, well, I don't know whether he is a sinner, speaking about Jesus, but I know this. I was blind, and now I see. So what did this man do? He told what he knew, what he saw, and what he had experienced. And that's what the world around us needs to hear. In our sphere of influence, our friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers, and classmates, they need to hear our God story about what we know, what we've seen, and what we have experienced. To come and go means that we simply tell others about our experience, of heaven on earth, the difference Jesus has made in our lives. That's it. See, our purpose isn't to try to debate people, but when we tell them our experience, nobody can debate an experience, because that's your experience. You can tell people what you've seen and heard and know, and they can't say, oh, that's not true. Well, of course it's true, because that's what you've seen and heard and know. That's what you've experienced. So we need to share people with people the good news of what we have heard, what we have seen, what we have experienced with this Christ child, the Prince of Peace. And here's an awesome verse to live by. It's Isaiah 63:7. This is a good memory verse. It says, I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise the Lord for all he has done. That should be our mantra, that we will share with others and tell the Lord's unfailing love, how we've experienced that love, and we will praise the Lord for all he has done and let others know what that God child, Jesus, has done in our lives. So remember, God can use ordinary me, ordinary you, in extraordinary ways when we're willing to embrace this come-and-go mindset and tell others what we've seen, what we've heard, and experienced in our walk with Jesus. And as we think about that, let's watch this little video.
We write the sign for you. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Hannah, you gotta see this. Look at this.
Come here, come here, come here.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Start from the beginning. Plus everything.
Okay. So.
You gotta be kidding me. It's great. Hey, come here. You gotta listen to the story.
I have something to show you.
Dad! Dad!
Dad! first.
We gotta tell him how this happened.
Good news is meant to be shared. So let us truly come and go. So as we close today, I want to invite us to make our pew, our chair, an altar of prayer. Throughout this series, The Simplicity of Christmas, we've been invited again to simplify our celebration of the simple story of Christmas and encourage us to slow down, breathe, and focus intentionally on the kingdom that was held in Mary's arms, on Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, King of Kings. Together we've been invited to make this an unforgettable Christmas as we remember how God stepped into human history on that first Christmas and brought heaven crashing into our world, allowing us to experience the wonder of God with us, God beside us, and God becoming one of us. So before we spend time in personal prayer, remember, we have a great opportunity tomorrow evening to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas by attending one of our services on Christmas Eve at either 7 or 11. This is also a great opportunity to come and go by inviting our friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers, and classmates to join us at one of these Christmas Eve services. So let's take this opportunity now to prayerfully consider who it is that we might invite to join us tomorrow. Who is God laying on our hearts to invite that needs to experience heaven? Jesus, the one who's done amazing and astonishing things. And let's ask God to provide us with an opportunity to share with someone how Jesus has amazed and astonished us, someone in whom we can share what we know, what we have seen, and what we've experienced. Let us be silent now before God.